Hello, West Liberty. This is Haley, and you are listening to WGLZ. We are college radio, and we are passionately vocal. And today, I'm doing a little segment called Students with Stories, where I sit down with a West Liberty student and talk about an interesting activity of theirs that they participate in. And today, I have the honor of having Catherine Hill here in the studio. Hello.
Hello.
Is it cool if I call you Katie?
Yeah, of course.
Alrighty, perfect. Now, we're going to get into a story of Katie's later, but first, we're going to talk about what got her into it. That is her interest in zoo science. You ready?
Yeah.
So now, why did you pick zoo science?
So it's kind of like a long story.
Oh, please. It's perfectly fine.
But ever since I was young, like, I had such a huge passion for animals. I would wake up like an hour or two before like my whole family. So it's like 6 a.m. and I would go downstairs and I would just turn on like Animal Planet and I would just watch documentaries. And then my parents would come downstairs and they're like, what are you doing? So I've always grown up like watching animal shows and then going outside and catching animals. I'm like the resident bug catcher at the house. Mm-hmm. And then also resident snake catcher, because my dad can handle it but my mom cannot. So mm-hmm. I'm just always like, okay, well, I'm just the resident animal person, I guess. I'm like the reason we have all of our pets. And then I was like, for the longest time, I was like, like, it's really cool, but I can't do that. Like, that's not like an actual thing I can do. Mm-hmm. And then the more I thought about it, I was like, wait, that is something I can do. I can be a scientist. Like, I can be a biologist and study animals. So it was kind of just like a whole, like, lifelong passion. I was like, oh, wait, you can actually follow your dreams. That's cool.
Well, that's actually really sweet. So do you have like a specific age you think of when you really decided that you were going to pursue this?
Ironically, it wasn't until like the end of high school.
Yeah,
because okay. I like for the longest time, it was just that like that's not like a realistic goal. And the more I thought about it, I was like, why can't it be a realistic goal? I was originally going to go to school and do like art. And I had an amazing art teacher in high school. She was like, well, you can do like scientific drawings of animals. And I was like, that's cool. Like, I really like art and I like animals. And I was like, but I don't know if that's what I want to do, because I'm mm-hmm. like a big hands-on, like I need to do things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then I was just like, you know what? We're doing it. We're going to do zoology. Like, we're going to do zoo science and it's going to work out. And so far it has.
That's really great for you. And now, why did you pick West Liberty specifically to do zoo sci?
So we had one day, it was like this college fair mm-hmm. at our, there's a college nearby where I went to high school called Shepherd. Mm-hmm. And they were doing like a whole organizational like college fair. And I was like, you know what? Like, I'll go and see what's going on. Cause at that time, I didn't really know where I wanted to go. I was kind of just like, well, maybe I'll go to Shepherd. Like, it's close to my house. And they had a West Liberty booth and it was like a specific zoo sci booth. And that was like the point where I still didn't know that I like had the ability to study animals. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, what? I was like, I can study animals and like work in zoos and like learn about like their natural history, and I can do it in West Virginia. Like, are you serious? And I was like, there's no way. And then I like got all of the pamphlets from them and I went home and I was like, Mom, like, did you know this was a thing? And she's like, no, I would tell you. And I was like, then I like hyperfixated on it for like months. I was like, I'm going here. This is what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. And then like, and it's what I'm doing. So
that's actually such a cute story for it. I love that. Now, you are a senior.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any plans at the moment once you graduate from West Liberty?
So yes and no. I would like to get my master's, but I don't want to just do it to do it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to see if there's any projects that really speak to me, because for a lot of like animal-based masters, you get like a specific thesis that you work on.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm kind of just trying to like look around and see if there's anything that really like speaks to me. I don't want to do it just because that's what like you're supposed to do after you graduate from your bachelor. So it's either going to be I go and get my master's in something I like truly care about, or I'll do a couple more like field seasons, work in a zoo. It's kind of like up in there. It's just like what I think at the time is best for me.
Now, what exactly is a field session?
So, a lot of jobs that, consist in the field with animals. So they usually last either like a summer or a winter period. Most of the animals I work with are more active in the summer. So a lot of jobs post seasonal field tech positions. So mm-hmm. you can, a lot of times they have housing. So you'll go out, work with that organization for a summer and then go back, which mm-hmm. is something we'll talk about in a little bit. Yeah. I know, but so it's kind of nice. It's an opportunity to see different parts of the country and work with different animals. So that's definitely high up on the list before I like settle down in a certain area and work on stuff.
Now, if you would get your master's, would you attend West Liberty, or do you think you want to go elsewhere for it?
I love West Liberty. I love West Liberty and like all my professors. But I think for my master's, I would want to go somewhere else just to broaden my horizons a little bit.
Absolutely.
I do think the master's program here for zoo science and like biology in general is great. Like mm-hmm. all the students I know that are in it love it, and they have amazing projects, but I think I just want to do something a little bit different.
Mm-hmm. Now, what have been your favorite animals to work with so far? Because I know our program has a lot, and then as well, you also do things outside of West Liberty.
Yeah, so West Liberty wise, I got the chance to work with our Woma pythons, which are an Australian species of python. I really enjoyed working with them. But more specifically, freshman year, I was able to intern down at a zoo in Florida called Luby Bat Conservancy, mm-hmm. and I was able to work with their flying foxes. So I definitely really, really enjoyed working with their Rodriguez Island flying foxes and their Malayan flying foxes. So they're definitely high up on the list.
Did you say flying fox?
Yeah. So they're a species of bat. The bats that we have in North America are micro bats. So like the little brown bats and all that. Mm-hmm. But countries like Malaysia, Australia, have these, they're kind of coined as like mega bats. Mm-hmm. So most often they're called flying foxes, but they're just fruit bats. So mm-hmm. they're just real big bats.
Okay. I did get a little lost when you said
flying. You're good. You're good.
I was like, flying foxes. Wow. Now, what are some things you've done, and you've actually talked about a couple of them, to further your career in zoo science?
Yeah. So actually for zoo science, you're required to have 2 internships before you graduate.
Okay.
And West Liberty, like zoo science is amazing. They connect us with Ogilvy, mm-hmm. which I did not intern there, but I know tons of people who do, and they really love it. So my first internship was at Luby Bat Conservancy, which I talked about a little bit, down in Florida, which was kind of crazy to be my first internship. I was just like, should I do it? And I was like, yeah, I'm going to go for it. So I just spent my first summer out of, like freshman year of college, just like down by myself in Florida, which was really fun, but a little bit scary. And then my second internship was actually with West Liberty with my professor, Dr. Barber, doing some acoustic bat monitoring just in the northern panhandle of West Virginia, mm-hmm. Looking to see if our bat species are more frequent in like undisturbed areas like forests mm-hmm. and riparian areas, so around like streams and stuff and rivers, or if they're more present in like human populated areas, so like mm-hmm. suburbs, like cities and towns. Which for anybody who does want to work with animals in like a field setting or a zoo setting, I definitely recommend. There's AZA job board and then Texas A&M Natural Resources job board. So both of them are super good places to find internships, and mm-hmm. having those under your belt like before you graduate is super, super nice. Yeah. People really like that.
Yeah, no, I totally agree on internships. And well, thank you so much so far, Katie. We're going to take a little break, and when we come back, we're going to continue Students with Stories and talk about Katie's time in Washington helping the North American Bat Project here on WGOZ 91.5 FM. We are college radio, and we are passionately vocal.
I love looking to the stars and learning about what happens in the solar system and surrounding galaxies. There are endless possibilities that outer space can provide. Just like the endless possibilities that West Liberty Station WGLZ gives to me and others, it serves as a vessel for me to share my passions. Tune in to WGLZ 91.5 FM. We are college radio, and we are passionately vocal.
Hello, West Liberty. This is Haley, and you are listening to WGLZ. We are college radio, and we are passionately vocal. And I'm back in here at the studio, continuing Students with Stories with Katie Hill. Hi, Katie.
Hello.
Now, before the break, we talked about Katie becoming interested in zoo science and what she's kind of planning on doing in the future. Now, we will talk about her summer of work in Washington assisting the North American Bat Program. Now, What was the original goal of the NA BAT project, or like the point of it, the goal?
Yeah, so the NA BAT project is actually a countrywide project. It's taking place in the US and some parts of Canada. I believe it's mostly acoustic monitoring. So the overall goal is to get a better idea of where bat species live in North America, what they're doing, kind of what areas they populate. And then knowing where these species are and what they're doing helps to better conserve them. A lot of bats in the U.S. are endangered and federally protected. So it's basically just kind of a fail-safe. So hey, this is what they're doing. This is what we need to do so that they stay here and stay healthy. So yeah, it's definitely a very understudied like type of animal. Mm-hmm. So getting as much data as we can on them is really important, which is difficult since they are a nocturnal species that is kind of hard to, it's kind of hard to study them and see what they're doing all the time. But yeah.
Well, obviously, you guys started that process. Now, take me through a day of what it was like to work over the summer.
Yeah, so we would get up on a really good day when we didn't, like, get beat up the day before. We would wake up around 6 a.m. So basically on, we would call them hitches. Mm. So we would work 8 days in a row in the field, and then we would have 6 days off, which was a really nice recovery period.
Okay.
So we would get up around 6 a.m., pack up like all of our stuff, so like sleeping bags, tents, put those in the truck, get ready for the day, just kind of like hype ourselves up. So it was me and my crew lead, which she was the absolute best, love her, still talk to her. But we would get up, get ready for the day. Sometimes we would like take a little breakfast break. There, one of my favorite things about working in the Pacific Northwest is these little coffee shacks. So they're like drive through and you could just get like your little iced coffee and a bagel and then you go on the road, which some of the areas we were in, most of the areas we were in were really remote and didn't have those.
Mm-hmm.
But when we did, it was a nice little treat.
Aww.
So we would get up, and the day before we set out in, we had these big quadrants. Mm-hmm. So in each quadrant, there would be one acoustic monitor that had a preset area, because this is like a long running project. So we would go pick up the detectors. So they were called Pedersen detectors. They're a little bit older, mm-hmm. But they still do the job. Pick up the calls for bats, just like any other detector would.
Mm-hmm.
So we would go pick those up, see how many files they got. And then while we're driving from one site to the next, it was usually about like a minimum an hour drive to the next spot.
Okay.
So one person would be downloading the data. We would download it onto this like big hard drive. And then every like two hitches or so, we would mail them back to the bat hub. So we were working with Oregon State University's Northwest Bat Hub.
Mm-hmm.
So we would mail all our data back there. And they had an amazing data manager that would go through and organize every single bat call, identify it down to species, and then that would get uploaded into a different file and sent somewhere else.
I was going to say, that just sounds, you're able to recognize what type of bat it is based off of sound?
Yeah, so a lot of bats, some bats actually look so similar that they can only be identified based on their call, which is super cool.
Okay.
But each bat has their own like different like call wave, so either in the different frequencies they hit or like how their call sounds or looks.
Mm-hmm.
So and each bat can also like have different calls, so there's like foraging calls, mating calls.
Okay.
And
yeah, now how long would you be doing these like pitches, like how many places would you be going to in a day?
Yeah, so we would have different sample units. So it's one sample unit per day.
Mm-hmm.
Where we would go and drive or hike to four different places within the sample unit.
Okay.
So I believe it was 10 kilometers, like 10 by 10,
mm-hmm.
and split up into four, which my numbers might be a little wrong on that one. But we would put a detector in each spot. So they had to be minimum, I think it was like 2 miles apart from each other.
Okay.
So sometimes we would be able to drive to each spot, which was really nice. A lot of it was 4x4 driving, so a lot of off-roading on old Forest Service roads, which was mm-hmm. kind of scary, but really fun to learn.
Yeah.
And then some of them were super long hikes, carrying all that equipment, which was a little bit humbling, but definitely really fun.
How much equipment was there usually?
So one detector, it would be, trying to think of how to describe it. So it's a nice little like Cabela's fishing box we would put them in.
Yeah.
And it would have the detector body in it. And they each take four, I believe it's D batteries. We would use rechargeable ones. That way we'd just charge them in the truck.
Yeah.
And then the microphone and the cord is, as well as we used rebar and really long painter's poles.
Mm-hmm.
And we would have a mallet too. So you have to pound the rebar into the ground, put up the painter's pole. And at the end was like a little like PVC T-post thing.
Yeah.
That you would slide the mic into. And that way it's up about 3 meters high. That way it better detects calls, because if it's sitting on the ground, you're not going to get anything because they're up in the air.
Mm-hmm.
So that's it for like one detector.
Mm-hmm.
But every once in a while we would have a long hike where you would place one at the beginning and then at the end of the hike was the other one. So I would carry one detector and then my crew lead would carry the other, which they provided us with backpacking bags, which was super nice. So we could just shove everything in there.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense, actually, because that has to be, is it heavy at all? Did it hurt?
Carrying? It's not super, super heavy, but it's definitely harder to do a hike with it than without it.
I see. Yeah. All right. Now, you said there are also other locations. You said off the radio that there were other locations as well, not just in Washington. What were the other locations?
Yeah, so the Northwest Bat Hub takes the Pacific Northwest section of the NA Bat Project. So they do Oregon, Washington, and Idaho.
Mm-hmm.
So there were two people in Washington, me and my crew lead, and then two people stationed in Oregon, and then two in Idaho. So we were all doing the same project, like, and all had the same protocols, but we were just doing them in different states.
All right. Now, I am curious, because did you see any bats while you were there? Like, did you see any of them, like, start either walking around or flying about?
Yeah. So we actually, the Washington crew got to do one capture night with Washington Fish and Wildlife. So we got to assist in capturing bats for their project. So we helped them set up. They're called mist nets.
Mm-hmm.
So at the edge of the roost, and this bat roost was actually in somebody's garage roof.
Oh, okay.
So they were nice enough to let them do this project there. So the bats would fly out into the net, and then they would lower it, capture them, and put them in these little bags, like holding bags.
Mm-hmm.
And then they would go through, like process, do all the measurements, and then they gave them a little wing cuff to identify if they've been captured or not. And also, I don't know if these were the exact tags that they used, but they had pit tags, so like radio tags they would put in the bat so you can ID whether or not it's been captured or not if the wingband happens to fall off. And that's part of one of their long-term projects monitoring white nose syndrome, which is a fungal disease in North American bats that's hitting them pretty hard.
Right.
So they're just doing a long-term study to see how it affects those species, which were their main species were Yuma myotises and then little brown bats, which are two common Washington species.
Well, all right. And then final question. You ready?
Yeah.
What do you want listeners to take away from what you've talked about so far about the NA project?
Yeah. So I just want them to really know that bats are extremely important to our ecosystems. I know a lot of people think that they're just like scary, and especially like Halloween's coming up, bats are like a big like spooky.
Yeah,
but they're not gonna fly in your hair, they're not gonna bite you and turn you into a vampire and all that crazy stuff. They're just here eating all our bugs, saving us a lot of money in pesticides, and keeping our ecosystems healthy. And they're just cute little guys. So I think it's important just to make sure that you appreciate these animals rather than being scared of them, and do what you can in your daily life to make their lives easier. Maybe set up a little bat house so that they have somewhere safe to go. But yeah, don't be scared of them. They're not scary little guys.
Well, that concludes it. Thank you so much, Katie, for coming in and being a part of our Students with Stories.
Of course. Thank you for having me.
Oh, thank you. Well, I loved hearing about your passion and the time you spent in Washington doing such an important project for, and what inspired you to even start this journey in the first place. And to everybody listening, you have been listening to WGLZ 91.5 FM. We are college radio, and we are passionately vocal.